episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
After this week's presentation, the only thing I can just say is absolutely moe. Just absolutely moe. Thank you, Nintendo gods. Thank you very much.
What were you saying? Moe?
Yes, that is that? You heard correctly.
What does that mean? Never mind.
Come on, Todd, you idiot. It's moe. That's, you know.
Oh, shut up, Tyler. You don't know what it is.
Everybody knows moe. Everybody.
Oh, really? What's moe? Don't tell him. What's moe, Tyler?
I don't need to say it. What it is? It's a funny way of saying moe, which is usually followed by bien, which is good. So I think what Will's saying is very good. That's what I think he's saying.
Shut up, Tyler. I admire the dedication to try and pull off the lie. As a dedicated liar myself, I appreciate the conviction, but no, you didn't pull it off.
Yeah, I wasn't really trying to. Like, I feel like if I committed to the Moi Bien thing, like, right away, you know, there's a chance that, like, maybe 20% of the populace might have fallen
for it. Oh, my God.
Okay, well, what does it mean?
Just look up on Google, and the fact that Tyler, you think that moi is Spanish for muy bien, really? I mean, sure, it does sound like that way, but it's not Spanish. It is not Spanish.
Clearly.
I know it's not Spanish. That was the joke.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I'll also tell you, Tyler is here, clearly.
Yes. I also agree, though. Moe. Very moe week. Very
Shut
moe.
Up. You don't know what it means. I don't think it means what you think it means. Okay.
Well, all the listeners out there, like, just Google it. You'll understand.
No, but how do you spell it?
M-O-E. Moe. With an accent.
That's Moe. Well,
yeah. You mean Moe?
That's an English Mo. Language. Yes. In English language.
Crossing?
Sure.
Like the Animal Crossing Moe? Like that cat looking thing? Because that's what comes up when I Google
it. I mean, in the English pronunciation, sure, it's called Moe, but in... Okay, spoilers, it's Japanese. It's Japanese.
Oh,
okay, now we're getting somewhere. Which makes you all the more scared to look it up.
Feelings of strong affection, mainly towards characters, usually female, in
there
anime, manga, video
Called
games,
it.
And other media other media directed at the otaku market. Very
Thank you. Yeah, Thank
it.
You, Tyler.
I knew it was going anime. I knew it had something to do with that.
Yeah, have you not seen the presentation, good sir?
Yeah.
Then you should already know that. Meh.
No. Now, will I admit that I have had moe feelings in the past? Of course. Aisha Clan from Outlaw Star is my one and forever waifu of anime. So, there used to be Sailor Neptune, but everyone should understand why that's not possible. Anyway. Hey, I was young. I didn't get it, and it was the English
dub. That's
okay.
I have an excuse. You know what? I am a mix of proud and ashamed that I understand your point there.
Yeah, it was quite a time back in the 90s. It was quite a time.
It was. Oh, what a time. Okay, but we got a very interesting show, and which we just proved this very curious opening segment. But we have some fun stuff to talk about, including the return of Splatfest once again. But of course, we're going to start off with some direct talk. All right, so much to our surprise, Nintendo dropped another, and should we say last of the year at least, Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase. They specifically said this is the last partner showcase for the rest of the year, which is something we'll be talking about a little bit later on in terms of what might come after. But yes, we had a big showcase. It was honestly, it was good. All right,
yes,
much like the last one, it was good. So... let's just break it down step by step like we always do, shall we? So, first up was the long-awaited, what do I want to say, update, I guess, of Bravely Default 2. About dang time.
Yep,
no,
yep,
seriously,
yep.
I've been saying this for weeks. Like, where is Bravely? Where is Bravely Default? And the game looks okay.
That's
okay.
A good way to put it.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You said it best, Tyler. You said that it presentation-wise, it looks like graphically okay, you know, kind of unrefined, but they probably still have a lot more, you know, final passes to do, and that's fine. Gameplay-wise, it's probably going to be solid. It's an RPG. You really have to, you know, work hard to screw that up. But for me, for me, the biggest thing was that they said, and I'm quoting here, that they had 25,000 responses for their survey, right? And that they're even going to release a video showing all the improvements that they made. And I remember all of our comments on the demo, which we all played. And one of my biggest ones was obviously the difficulty. I felt like you ramped up the difficulty way too quickly, and they noted that they're working on that. The other problem that we all noted was the voice acting.
Yeah.
It was okay. Now, it wasn't 100% horrible, but a certain Irishman, it was just way too loud, laddie. It was just way too much. And yet, what's the first voice I hear?
Elvis.
Okay, not the first. It was like the third voice. But of the main four heroes, who's the first one we hear? His! It's
Elvis.
His voice! It didn't change a gosh dang thing with that voice. And then, as if that could not get any worse, then when they continued the trailer, the voice acting just got more cringe. Why? How is it this bad?
Unfortunately, it is subjective. And granted, the whole mainly Scottish git is just like, okay, maybe a little bit much, unfortunately.
Well, it's not just him again. Like, there were other voices that were so cringe. Like, what is this? It's Square Enix. You know better. You know the power of having a good English dub or a bad English dub. You know better. Okay? Like, you put in how much effort to get all the perfect voices for Final Fantasy VII Remake, and you can't do that for Bravely?
Because, like, also, like, during that part of the trailer, I remember, like, you are no longer the Guardian of Light. I just got immediately reminded of the whole Star Wars franchise of that moment. And, like, that thing is like, you are the Hero of Light, the Guardian of Light, or something of that sort. It's like, okay, Star Wars reference in a sense. I don't know. I just got reminded of that.
Yeah. Or how about the classic, I am the Guardian of Light no more. It's like, oh.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that was
the
one
I was
thinking.
So I was wondering if that was going to be Tiz. Because, like, this, they said it's all four new characters, but, like, they have to tie it back to the old game, or to the previous game, because there's a lot of mysteries that were unanswered. So I'm wondering if it's, like, 80 years in the future or whatever, and that's, like, old man Tiz, in which case that would be kind of cool. But I agree, I felt like it was a little hokey. Not that I mind that too much. Bravely Default was, I wouldn't say hokey, but very traditional in its story, and the twist is really what made that game's plot stand out and made it memorable. So, you know, I was a little like, you know, I'm not super into the Guardian of Light thing. It did feel a bit much, but I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's pretty in line with the other games.
Elvis, that was his name. I kept wanting to say Seamus because of his voice, but it's Elvis, which is a name, which is an insult to the Godfather of Rock. All right, or God of Rock, whatever you want to call him. So, for any of you who don't understand what Elvis is, look it up. So, like, but yeah, again, this game will probably be fine. Like, I like the idea of the special classes that we met, like the Paladin and the Gambler. Like, that looks really fun.
Yeah, the asterisk, yeah.
The asterisks and all of them. Like, that looks fun. I'm sure it'll be a grand story, but, like, voice acting can totally kill. Like, there's reasons that games sometimes just give you the Japanese voices so you don't have to think about it too much, all right? Isn't that kind of weird, though? Like, if you really think about it, that we don't want to hear English voices, but we'll hear Japanese ones even though we can't understand it. Isn't that kind of weird?
I think the reason behind that is because, again, it's just, like, it's from the source material, like, it is based on that. And, of course, English localization has to go and match it with, like, the storyline, translations, all that. So I think that's the reason why, because it just kind of flows more freely, like with, like, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, in my opinion.
So I hear this, and all I'm thinking of is Star Ocean Until the End of Time, because that game had some great voice acting and some absolutely cringe voice acting that I will have scarred into my brain for the rest of my life. You know who I'm talking about, fans. I'm talking about Ty Knave and Farlene. How high-pitched can you get someone to do a voice? Calm me down. So the other big news, obviously, was that Bravely Default 2 is coming out. Wait for it. Next year. So reiterating our point that next year we will all be broke. So, yes, it's coming out February 26th, 2021. Mm-hmm. And again, like I noted earlier, they were going to be releasing a detailed video breaking down all the changes that they made based on the, 20,000 surveys that were sent in. So that's nice. Stay tuned for that. We'll try and post it up if we see it.
It's actually out right now. It is out right now. Yes, the player.
Oh, and I apologize. I will. We should try and write that up then, because I thought they hadn't posted it yet. But yeah, so go check that out and let us know if you're still interested. This is just a huge loss, because again, this was supposed to be this year. That's why they announced it at the Game Awards last year, and it was like, oh, it's coming out, you know, fall 2020, and it's going to be a big 30-party release, and now it's like, yeah, we're going to move it to next year. So, again, 2021, it's going to be a big year for gaming, hopefully because the pandemic's over, but we're not that lucky. So, yeah. Okay, I was expecting you guys could say something, but never mind.
You're expecting us a witty comeback of some sort? Like, yeah, it's a pandemic, of course. We're not
Tyler. Like, Tyler's been quiet for a little bit. I was just like, I was giving him the move, you know, as yeah, your
no,
host.
I realized you were trying to, like, you know, give me some more room to go off, but I was like, I have said what my thoughts were on the game.
Fine.
And I got distracted. It was my friend's birthday, texting me. I wanted to see what he said. So, you know, it's sometimes these things happen. It's
all right. So anyway, moving on, we had Story of Seasons. They mm-hmm. had a nice big trailer for that, and you know, it looks like you get Harvest Moon, you know, that kind of thing. It will be releasing in March 2021. There's a lot of March games next year.
Yes,
I mean, we got Monster Hunter. We got what was that other Square Enix game? The fantasy one. You know, the one that you like, Tyler. Looks like Knights.
Betland? Something
Betland. Yeah, Betland, or that one. So, like, that one's coming out in March. Now Story of Seasons is coming in March. That's a lot of March games.
I'm personally, like, I'm actually kind of a bit interested in it, because my brother loved the Story of Seasons, loved the original Harvest Moon games, and the best way he describes it is basically it is Harvest Moon with Animal Crossing, in some sense. Because, again, this thing pretty much design your farm and just, like, cut down trees. Very similar to Animal Crossing. He told me up. And of course, again, who doesn't like these, like, cows? And you also raise alpacas, so it's always a cute little thing. So yeah, this is actually pretty interesting.
All right, and then after that, we had a couple of, you know, somewhat random titles. We had a Surviving the Aftermath.
Yeah,
your typical post-apocalyptic, you know, trying to build up your home and protecting against outsiders, you know, that kind of thing. So that one's coming out. And then Immortals Fenyx Rising, which I just can't help but hear Fenyx Wright. it's right there. But you know, you're a little mix of Zelda and God of War, so always appreciated. Are you going to try this one, Tyler, after your love of Hades?
I am definitely going to get this one. It looks really good to me. I'm curious to see how it runs on Switch.
Yeah.
I think this is coming to everything.
Because it was announced E3 last year, I think.
Yes, yeah, well, it's currently out on like PC, PS4, yeah, most of them.
Oh, it's already out?
Like, I know some people have a short of gameplay of it, and so they currently think this is early access right now. But yeah, it is currently going to be awful with general systems. I'm not sure if it's like free to play. I'm not sure.
But it is going to be coming out this year, thankfully, December 3rd. So you won't have to wait too much longer, Tyler.
Yeah, no, so this is definitely, I'm assuming the reviews check out and it performs well, I'm going to get this. It looks like a lot of fun. It's another Breath of the Wild inspired game, and I'll just take all of those, so.
So there's that. And then we had Bakugan. I'm not talking about that. We have a big game announcement. It's Bakugan! No one cares. So Griftlands, Nintendo Switch Edition. Like, this one looks interesting just because it's, you know, a roguelike with a dialogue game and a card game all mixed in one. I gotta admit, that's unique. You know, I always appreciate unique titles. So, and then there's Tropico 6. Like, what, really? I mean, the Switch is already a port machine, but, like, Tropico 6? Really? Okay. All right, now the next two were big surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Hitman 3 and Control. Now, to be clear, And a lot of people are making sure to note this. These are not just pure editions we're getting. These are cloud editions.
Yes, yes.
So you're going to be downloading them off the cloud to play on your Switch in, quote, optimal conditions. Right.
This is huge.
It is huge. No, like, the game mm-hmm. these games is huge, especially Control. You know, because that was a surprise Game of the Year hit for many people.
Yeah, I want to play Control badly, but even beyond the games, like, I haven't played it yet. I think it's available now, but I will check it out, because if it performs well on Switch, that's a viable way to play these games that otherwise would have been too powerful for the Switch's hardware. Like, yeah. That's a big deal.
True. Yeah, I agree with that point, but also, we were on for. I saw the thing that our boss have tried to go and download this game, and the fact is there is an online queue to play this game. So like, yeah, there, like, even with cloud gaming for Control, like, yeah, the fact that you have to go wait on a queue to play this game is like, okay,
yeah,
sure, if that's the way
not
to play,
great, yeah,
that's
fine,
not great.
But yeah, to wait on an online queue to play this game, yeah.
That's not best. But yeah, Control is available now, and Hitman is coming. So that's big though. That's big for them, because we know that's two major third party titles. Again, Control was a major hit by Remedy, was year by many esteemed websites, including IGN. So, and Gus Game, the Ultimate Edition is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Q though, that is a detractor, isn't it? So, all right, and then Will. Yeah, I'll let you take this next set of announcements. Go ahead.
Okay, so the next one after Control and Hitman is my favorite Otaku Assassin. Yes, we finally get more information of No More Heroes 3. And might I just want to say that trailer from Grasshopper Manufacturer and Suda51's Mad Mind. Oh, God. You got to get appreciated. It's really creative as heck. And like, again, to see Sylvia, and just like how the first showcase of combat from the new beam katana, new animations, of course the wrestling moves that we know about, Travis Touchdown, is just this is pure Travis Touchdown. And of course, like, seeing of the new enemy of food, just seeing how it is, it's just like, bring it on, I'll give you a little kiss, and like, that is just Ramek because that's top tier performer. And like, I just also how I like it with Sylvia Crystal also playing, like, yeah, if you haven't played the prequel games, that's cool, but it's even more better if you have played the prequel games. Like, geez, how nice foreshadow, Sylvia. And then after that, like, the fact that also calling Travis Touchdown while he's using the toilet, like, what does it have to be right now? What, the first game of No More Heroes is being ported to the Switch? Awesome. And like, what, No More Heroes 2 is being ported to the Switch as well? When does it drop? And then like, and just pop up with the whole graphics of everywhere, like today, like, oh, that's sweet. And moe, super moe is just like that ending screen cap, like, Suda51, you mad crazy mind, and I love you for it. And the fact that it's available right now today, currently on a sale right now, I believe it's like $17 for.
Expensive. I was gonna buy it. It looked really, I know what the games are because of you, Will. But I never thought I would get them. But then I was like, oh, sweet. Coming to the Switch eShop, like, this is going to be an $8 download. Like, $20? I was surprised. Like, I don't know. How long are these games?
It's fairly beefy. The first game itself, like, yeah, there are activity. Like, I think the most you can probably get is, like, a very good solid, like, 30 hours, let's say, check. And then, naturally, it's expanded more in the second game. But overall, these are fairly chunky games. These are fairly
chunky. Okay, that changes my opinion a little bit. And I thought that it was more like a
10
an 8-hour game. Yeah,
well, no, these things are big. I mean, of course, their Hades right now is currently on sale for only $20 right now currently on the eShop. But yeah, like, No More Heroes 1 and 2, they're fairly sizable games even on a budget price. So yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, like, you're not just getting two games for one, but it's only $10 more than like your average Switch title.
So, well, you're not getting two games for one. I think they're both sold separately.
Yeah, they're sold separately. These are separately.
Oh, so yes. Combined, they're 70.
Yeah, combined, about like $17, like, that's, I checked. Because I believe the MSRP was like $20 each.
If you buy them both, it's $40.
Oh, wait, so they're, wait, if you buy them both, that's 40.
They're currently on sale right now. They're currently on sale right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard 70 earlier. I'm just like, what? Okay, that's not too bad. So, but yeah, like hearing that this was a, I think this is a great promotional move because obviously, you know, No More Heroes, the original was on Wii, then the second was on PS2, then got ported to Wii. And then, sorry, PS3.
No, the second game, it came out for the original Wii as well.
I said that, but it came...
Because it got ported with Lost Paradise and the PlayStation 3, yeah, with the HD port.
But, like, having it on the Switch is a big move because it can get people excited for No More Heroes 3. And as Tyler loves to note, No More Heroes has never had a million sellers, so maybe this will change that.
It's never come even close to having a million sellers. I just want to put that out there as well. It's never been
Granted, Suda 51 games are generally niche because, again, Grasshopper Manufacturers ain't exactly a big studio, so it can't actually go spring on market. But with this game, like, again, if there's one thing I can guarantee with Suda 51 is that they are crazy fresh. You would never expect any other games like them. They're an experience.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. I think now that I know that it's a longer game, I will try it. Just so I can, you know, appreciate it like Will does. It's just my Smash Bros. Point. Like, people are saying this character deserved to be in, and that is so stupid. To not deserve to be in.
Once you play the game, maybe your tune will change.
Oh, gosh.
Uh-huh. We shall see. But yes, this is huge news. I really do like it. Okay, then we had a very curious game from HAL Laboratory.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, Part-Time Alien. Which I literally looked at it, and the first thing I thought was, "Is that's Kirby?"
Yep, pretty much. Yeah.
And then, of course, later on, what do we see? We see him doing a game where he's stacking up Kirby characters. I'm like, I knew it. That's just Orbiter Kirby. Or sorry, Part-Time UFO. There it is. Part-Time UFO. Yes, so, but hey, what if HAL wants to make that? Then by all means, sure, whatever.
So they've already made it. It's a mobile game that's already out, and they're porting it to Switch.
It's available now on Switch, but yeah, okay.
I mean, it's a cute little thing. It's a cute side project. Why not?
Yeah. All right, and then finally, we had a couple of pieces of news about Hyrule Warriors. We saw a quick compilation of all the previous trailers, the recent reveal trailers, like with Master Koga and everything. And then the big reveal, which my jaw dropped. I love this so much. We're going to get to control the Divine Beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome! Mm-hmm. So, and then they showed gameplay of that, and I totally dig it so dang much. So that's really fun. And then, of course, there is the demo that is available right now, and we will be talking about it in a second. But let's now talk about the direct overall, our impressions. I thought it was a solid one. There were a few oddities, like with Part-Time UFO and like Tropico and everything. They really need to work on doing that, because, I mean, do they really expect a lot of sales of Tropico? Or, like, really? But overall, like, the news of No More Heroes and Bravely and, of course, Hyrule and everything, like, that was good stuff. That was a great way to end the partners showcase for the year. So I'll give it a B. I think it was a solid one, and it definitely got me excited for you know, the podcast, because I was like, this is gonna be good stuff to talk about.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you on the B. I think it's pretty cool to see how far the partner showcase has come. Like, the initial, the likes to dislikes ratio on this one was just like 11,000 likes when I watched it, and like 200 dislikes. So they started to figure it out, and they started to get that content ready. I'm very excited for next year, and really what the months that are ahead of us, because outside of, you know, I think Pikmin launches tomorrow. I'm not that excited about
but
you got Age of Calamity, then you've got Immortals, and then you've got two really strong games in February in 3D World and Bravely. And so, like, this is a good start to the next year. Two games that I'm very excited about are coming early next year. I thought this was really good. I'd give it a B also.
Really? Because, like, honestly, this thing just kind of blew it out of the park for me. And I'm biased.
I wonder why.
But, yeah. Firstly, for me, I gotta give this prop an A because, like, one, that, like, they, as you said, like, they learned a lot from these partner presentations. Like, yeah, like the beginning was like, okay, there's some, but this is the kind of thing I really want them to do with these partner showcases. Like was similar to Nintendo Directs. They ended off with a bang, and like, of course, they ended off with Hyrule Warriors, which is obviously the big seller. And of course, you got No More Heroes, which is like, yeah, this is perfect niche scratcher. Like, this thing just really, they really learned out of it. And of course, like, again, probably the best way to end a presentation is with a bang, and probably the big titles. And of course, like, yeah, you're beginning off with something good and solid, like with Bravely Default 2. And then just warm you up, go down a little bit, and then just go bang it back up again with No More Heroes 3 and Hyrule Warriors. So yeah, personally for me, this thing was just an overall solid performance to just end off the year. So yeah, personally for me, it's an A.
It was weird that Hyrule Warriors was here. Like, I like that it was here, but it's a partner showcase. Like, I guess Koei Tecmo is a partner.
It's Koei Tecmo's game.
Like, yeah, you're right. And I guess they put Cadence in the other one, so I guess it's not that weird. It just felt odd to me seeing such a, you know, signature Nintendo franchise in a major release in a partner showcase. But it made it a lot better. I'm not complaining, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got to remember, while it is a Zelda game, it is absolutely made by Koei Tecmo, but they're just saying that they're working with the Zelda crew to make it as accurate to Breath of the Wild as possible.
Yeah,
so that's the difference. Now, of course, the big question here is that they specifically stated this is the last partner showcase of the year. So, does that mean we're going to get another pure Nintendo Direct before the end of the year?
I think so. I do. Sometimes they'll do one in December, and this year was really slow for a mass, like for just 2/3 of it was really slow, and they did start to turn it around late, but I have to imagine that projects that got delayed due to COVID and even just their initial plans, 2021 has got to be a huge year for them. I think that we're going to see something in December. I could be wrong. The Game Awards are right there, and they'll definitely have a presence there, so maybe that's all they'll do. But right now, I think yes.
Yeah, that's a good question, though, about the Game Awards. I mean, what are they going to do?
Most likely a virtual presentation, like how everyone's been doing right now. But Nintendo Direct before they end it, I don't know. It feels like this presentation is pretty much kind of the best way to put it. So I'm kind of leaning on the no side of things for full Nintendo Direct, because again, we do have the Game Awards coming up, and obviously I feel like they will show something up there and not like take away from that VGA award. So I'm leaning towards the no side.
I think we will. I'm not sure if it'll be a mini or not, but I think they'll do it just to kind of update everyone and everything, because there's so many games that we know they're making that we haven't heard about in a while, like Breath of the Wild 2 and Metroid, and of course, you know, they've got some surprises coming around. They're probably going to do a little bit of an update on 3D World Bowser's Fury. You know, I think they're going to do something, but then again, with Nintendo, you just never know, and like Tyler said, it will depend on what's it at the Game Awards, because we all thought that there was going to be a character announcement there last year, and there wasn't. So
there's going to be a character announcement.
I would hope. I'm still recovering from Minecraft Steve, but I don't know. I mean, Nintendo has just gone so off the rails in some ways this year, and while they did get better with their partner showcases, it still wasn't, you know, everything we need, especially with all the, oh, it's coming out in 2021, you know, deals. But we'll see. We got to have hope, at least a little. And then when it's proven untrue, then we can blame Nintendo for everything. So is it possible to blame Nintendo for the election? I mean, think about it. I mean, there's got to be a way. You know? Just kidding. So let's now go into basically what have you been playing, because we have all been playing the demo for Age of Calamity. And before we get started, just want to note that our dear boss, King Koopa Keith, not only played the game, he streamed it, and he took an impressions video of it. It is on the website right now. So if you want to see his thoughts on the game as well as his gameplay of it, to see if you should try it out, which you absolutely should, it's on the website. Go and look it up. It's doing really well, and we're really glad that Keith got to do it. So he's now very excited for this game.
And he's not generally the Nintendo guy, too.
Well, yeah, he's a Nintendo guy. It's just he doesn't get to play as much because of his job and his kids.
Right.
Remember, his kid deleted his Breath of the Wild save file, which is not kosher, kid.
Right.
Anyway, but for my impressions, I played it tonight. Like, I played it about an hour and a half or so before the podcast because I had work to do. But I did get to play it all, more or less. I didn't do some of the side missions. But I very much enjoyed it. It definitely has a different feel than the original Hyrule Warriors, which was a little more straightforward in how certain things were done. Because of the power of the Sheikah Slate, there's just more options that you can do, and you find yourself doing like little rhythms to, you know, like clear out. I'm like, I love the bombs, just throwing them and like destroying whole hordes of enemies with them. And Zelda with her little bomb robot that sets stuff. I like how they're expanding the story, and what I don't want to talk about the big twist as of yet. You know what I'm talking about, I have feelings. I have personal feelings, as a certain robot would say. You know who I'm talking about, right, Will?
I think so.
He's talking about C-3PO.
What?
C-3PO?
No.
Is that
when did he ever say I have personal feelings?
He's a very expressive robot.
No, he's not. I'm talking about Ruby, Will. It's Penny's line at the end of the season when she gets the maiden powers.
I have not actually seen the current season, so I haven't.
Too bad. Spoilers! So, but anyway, that timely twist aside, I liked how they are literally going to, like, to the beginning of it all. You know, because you're really wondering, like, how are they going to play this? Mm-hmm. How are they going to do this? And I like how, not unlike the original Hyrule Warriors, they talk about how Link's just a knight in the guard. But unlike last time, they didn't make it oh so dang obvious that him and Zelda were going to have a connection. Like, if you remember the original Hyrule Warriors, he's literally doing some fighting. She comes over a ledge to see him fight, and it's like, smile, yada, yada, yada. So this one, it felt a little more natural. And how things are evolving is really cool. Impa, her character and her character attacks are so unique. Like, her, she was honestly the hardest to control because I literally was just button mashing because I didn't know, like, how fully to use her powers, like, with the runes and all that, and absorbing them and then using their powers and all that. But she was really fun to use, and I like her personality. But Zelda was fun with her use of the Sheikah Slate.
Yes.
So it was fun overall. I like that they really are focusing on the story. You know, like, we're going to find out how we meet the four champions instead of them just being there like they were in Breath of the Wild. I like that. So, of course, now we have to watch Mipha fall in love with Link, and we know she's going to die. So, you know, heartbreak all the way. But I will take that. I will take that journey nonetheless. But there's a lot to like here. There are some of the repetitive stuff, like, you know, one of the side missions was to clear out, like, a 700 or a couple hundred Lizalfos, and you know there's going to be more of that. But overall, I'm very pleased with what I've played so far, and we haven't even gotten to, you know, try out some of the other champions yet, so who knows what other characters we get to have fun with. And we haven't met our certain mysterious character who's helping Koga. So there's a lot here that I think that we're going to enjoy. And again, in the demo, as we've all noted, is deep. It is an hour plus if you decide to do all the side missions. So, like, that's not your typical demo kind of thing.
Yeah. Just playing with the demo of it all is just, like, yeah. Link was obviously just the basic Link. But I just like also with his running strong attack, you basically do the surf. Shield surfing attack just to go plow through enemies, and of course with like how each characters have their own unique abilities, like with Link with his arrows, Impa Sheikah techniques. Just like personally for me, Impa is just so much fun because even with her prior reincarnation with just the giant broadsword from the original game, like Impa as a ninja is just like just perfect with the clones and all, just absolutely perfect. And of course, naturally with Zelda is like a much more unique take, because like one, you actually have to trigger the room powers for it to activate. So that's the one thing I also appreciate, just how like just varied and different play styles each character is so far. So it only brings me up like what other of the other champions and other characters can utilize in their movesets. So that's one thing I'm just very very excited about. And just like, yeah, the combat wise, how to use all the room power for all of the characters is just, yeah, they put in a lot of love on it. Like, of course, like naturally, like the most major consensus right now is like, obviously the frame rate kind of tanks a little bit, especially in the first stage, which granted, because one is most likely due to the grasses, and of course it's possible you can light them on fire. So there's a lot of things they have to process in that first map, while the second map was like just basically stone rocks. So there's nothing that much demanding on it. So that's obviously the major feedback currently right now I've heard. But overall, just like this entire demo, and of course facing the Guardians, and I'm not sure if any of you two actually tried it, but you can actually roof it, like in the original game.
Yes, you can. I did.
Wait, yeah. Wait, what? You can what?
You can actually reflect the Guardian's laser in that second stage, like in the original game.
Oh, I didn't even try. By the time I got to kill him, I was playing as Impa.
Yeah. So like they have a lot of like tributes to the original game, even like the shoot bash parry. Like the only thing I do have to criticize is the perfect dodge flurry slashes, because that timing is unbelievably tight. Yeah, like exact. Because like I was like trying to testing out like when it's the perfect dodge, and like you literally have to wait when it's like the attack is like literally in front of your face for the trigger. So it's like, yeah, the perfect dodge for the flurry slashes. Yeah, that's my major gripe with it. But overall, it is a very good demo.
I totally agree with your criticisms, Will. The flurry slash was really frustrating. I kept trying to do it, and I just kept waiting longer and longer and longer. And it's been a while since I played Breath of the Wild, so maybe it's accurate to how it was. I just felt like you had a little bit more room there for the flurry slashes. And the frame rate, when I started, I was like, uh-oh, because like right away the frames dipped. And I don't notice those things generally because I'm an idiot. That one I noticed was like, okay, this could be an issue. And I'd imagine that a lot of the settings, because that's such a beautiful map, and if this game wants to live up to its potential, it should really take us to every cool spot in the Breath of the Wild overworld. And I think it will. So I expect frame rate issues to persist. I like this a lot. I just want to say that because you guys have said all the positives. So I just want to put out, it's a Warriors game. It's still a Dynasty Warriors game. It's cool to see the perspective of the Zelda, this Breath of the Wild world through a Warriors game. That's cool in and of itself, but the gameplay, it's fine. It's not great. It's hack and slash. Mashing Y will do the job just fine.
Yep.
And it's, you can't get away from that. Ceiling for this game is set. You know, this is not going to be a blow your mind game. I can't imagine, especially because of the story beat that I think that Todd was referencing earlier that I'm so concerned about.
Like, yeah,
I feel that could tank the entire game. But on the positive side, I loved Zelda's moveset, and I loved the music. The music was, it was Breath of the Wild's music, but it had a little more energy consistently to it that it fit in this kind of crazy, hectic, action-packed game, and that was fantastic. Zelda's moveset, as you guys had mentioned, was so unique. And just right away, she clicked with me because, I think she felt a little bit more in rhythm with some of the Fire Emblem Warriors characters. Link's timing on some of his moves, I couldn't get down right away. But with Zelda, it was pretty easy to get everything I wanted to work. And it's just such a creative, such just a really great idea to use all of the runes and her standard YYY combo. She keeps using a different rune each step of the way.
That was
really cool. She was definitely my favorite to use. I liked Impa as well, and I did enjoy playing Link, but I'd actually say he was probably my least favorite character to use. There's a bunch of side missions that aren't that interesting, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton of those, because, again, this is a Warriors game, so beating level one, there was like, okay, here's a side quest. Go fetch these materials, and I had, like, 15 times the materials that I needed for that fetch quest. It's like, okay, click A twice, you're done, good job, here's your thing.
And there, like, granted, there is, like, that filler content, like, that, unfortunately, Koei Tecmo is going to do that, sadly, but, like, if it kind of recalls what the original Hyrule Warriors game actually had, like, in the adventures map, and, like, for that, in the original game, it's, like, also have this item to unlock to progress through, or, like, certain characters of that. So, yeah, unfortunately, there is some of that filler content, but I do wonder how it is going to be with Age of Calamity. Like, is it gonna be too much on the time, like the challenge trials, once you finish up the demo, or like will be much more like in the original Hyrule Warriors game with like adventure maps or like side quests of some of that sort? I do wonder.
Yeah, same here. I did like it overall, though, don't get me wrong. I thought it was fun. The moment that I was like, oh, this is really fun, is when I was dashing as Link and I did his heavy and I shield surfed. I was like, this is fun. Yes, I love shield surfing. Is shield surfing the best invention ever? I think yes. I don't think humankind... The wheel was good. The wheel was good, but shield surfing, so much fun.
There are some things that are eternal. What I really like, to continue on with the positive, is not just the variety of their attacks, but just how clever they got with some things, like Zelda's A special, where she takes the picture, and then see it, like Paper Mario-ing off the screen, and all of a sudden it takes like a whole bunch of damage. Like, that was infinitely clever. And the descriptions of the characters, you know, Link is the Silent Knight, because of course he is. Zelda's a burgeoning scholar, princess, what? And then our dear friends, what were their names? The
Robbie and Pura. And Pura. Those were the best. That was the best moment.
Eccentric genius. Genius eccentric.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. Check it. And then like she's holding the pose, and like, and then she like kind of reverts back into a more modest, shy state. So. There's a lot to like here, and I'm sure that once we get, you know, all the champions in there, infinite references to the past and their techniques, which I look forward to seeing. I think we're gonna have even more fun. Okay, let's talk about the spoiler, because I'm really not sure how I feel about this. So we knew going in that this was gonna be set 100 years in the past, and I was fine originally. That this was going to be about that they started off showing just how screwed everybody was, and yet apparently, when Zelda's Triforce of Wisdom power activated, she activated a mini guardian that no one talked about in the original game, and they're claiming I have to rewatch the opening to Breath of the Wild, but they're claiming that the tiny guardian was a part of the tapestry of the original game. I had to set up. Basically, somehow this mini guardian has traveled back in time 100 years, and he/it is trying
not 100 years, but it was right when the calamity was happening.
Right before the calamity,
which is 100 years before. They said it's 100 years.
No, this was during the preparations for, like, the Hyrule just fell, and then he went back in time. Like, so it was like 2 months.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'm thinking.
You're good.
I think of this in terms of the main game, in terms of what we play in the main game. But yes, you're right. So where he the fall of Hyrule, he reverts back time to however many, you know, days, weeks, months, and this guardian robot is trying to save Zelda, and they actually see the calamity that befalls them, and now they're like, we can't have this happen. So that's a very interesting choice, because now there's a question of, well, since they know the future, can they honestly fix it? Or are they just proving that, you know, time is a loop, which is a very Zelda thing, and that, you know, just because they know it, they're not going to be able to escape it, which is even more grim than the original ending we were all talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the trailers themselves, in the original review trailer for Age of Calamity, we see the champions getting hit. We see them, like, apparently at their demise. So, like, yeah, with this time travel plot as well with the little guardian, and I gotta give props. The little guardian is pretty much essentially R2-D2, and what was the newest robot? I forgot his name. AB-8. Yeah. It's pretty much
BB-8.
Yeah, BB-8. Yes. It just reminds me of those two.
100% R2-D2. 100%.
It's a little bit of both. It really is a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's a Star Wars droid. It's
Pretty
like
much.
not even remotely hidden that that's what they're going
Yeah.
for.
Only speaks in beeps and boops, is tiny and somewhat cute
And a
shaped,
sirens and a
apparently.
siren like wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Constantly follows the protagonist.
yeah. So like, but yeah, going back again with this time travel plot story, like many people, like I've been hearing the feedback, like some of them, it just kind of opens up to a lot of things. Like, is it possible to, like, there is that possibility of a chance, like the calamity can be avoided, or is it gonna be with the original canon story of the original game that everyone just falls to demise? Like, if there is. Many people are just gonna wonder what is will be the variance between like the canonical story and of course like if they're gonna do anything new with Age of Calamity. So that's the one thing a lot of people is speculating currently right now.
Because
I hate
go ahead.
this. I hate this. I'm just gonna say it. I hate this in so many ways. I'm tired of time travel stories, one. Like, there's just, I'm tired of them. There's everywhere. I'm good on the time travel stories, but what was so cool about this game was like seeing the fall. I just wanted to see the fall, you know? And like, Todd, you make a good point. Maybe it still will end with Hyrule falling, but it seems as though they're heading in a different direction with it. You know, it seems as though they're going to have this like happy ending, and maybe they'll do like a split path where there's one ending where they succeed and one ending where they fail. I don't know how they're going to pull it off, but like, the idea that you said of like maybe they can't change the future, I mean, that's fine. Like, I like a dark story. I feel like that's just a little too dark for Nintendo. Like, they could go that way. I would not be surprised if they went that way, but I don't know if that's really what I want. I don't think it's going to upset me, but I think it would upset a lot of younger people who are playing it. Like, oh wow, this is really, you know, this is pretty depressing. So I just from that angle, I don't like it either. And then it makes me think about, I feel like they'd be missing an opportunity to not to tie this into Breath of the Wild 2. And that makes me think that it's possible that what they're going to do is have like a light world and a dark world again, and I don't really want that either. Like, if in Breath of the Wild 2 they discover a way to travel to a world where they saved Hyrule, like I maybe that would be fun, but like there's just light world, dark world's been done so much in Zelda that I just not crazy about it. This was really concerning to me, not enough to make me think I don't want the game, but it was a negative for me.
So here's my personal dislikes about this. First off, did we really need the robot? I almost wanted to call it the Tingle robot, just because it's there, it's kind of annoying, and it's gonna be following you around forever. So trying to think of a funny Star Wars name for the robot mixed with Tingle, but never mind. That's the first thing. The second part, as Tyler said, time travel stories. We've had enough of them, especially in Zelda. Like it's the part of how many games exactly? Not like seriously, how many games? I could think of at least three. No, four. So like that's a lot. And the fact that it's this robot, this one guardian that somehow has the power of time travel, really? And the other thing is that even though they're trying to play it both ways, I think, with the whole we can change the future versus we can't change. Because what happens when Zelda sees the future? She goes, "We can't. This won't happen. I won't let it happen." And what they're going to do? They're going to go find the four champions, which is canonical. They had to find the four champions eventually. Just didn't realize the reason why, or we weren't told the full reason why at the time. And so it's like, okay, that's fine. So this is what triggers her to go find the champions. Okay, that works. Except now, because there was Dark Calamity energy following the. We gotta think of a name for the robot.
R2D2.
Okay, R2. R2B8. There you go. A fusion. R2B8. So because Calamity Energy followed R2B8, like they faced an evil guardian. But if you recall in Breath of the Wild, they were shocked when the guardians turned on them. Why were they shocked if they know that this could have happened? And remember, they were specifically trying to get the Guardians to work so that they could fight Calamity again, thinking that nothing could go wrong, and then they were betrayed because Calamity took them all over. So you know this is going to happen again in the game. So if Zelda and Link and Impa and what was the scientist's names?
Pura
Pura
and
and
Robbie.
Robbie.
I don't know why I can't remember them. I'm sorry. But if they are going to see this multiple times, why did Zelda try and get the army of the Guardians? That doesn't make sense. And so there, and then of course, what happens to R2-B8? You know, because if he was, you know, key in the past, and we know he wasn't in any of the memory sequences of Link and Zelda, because obviously it didn't exist at the time in terms of like actual development timeline, where did it go? Did it go back to the present or the future or whatever? That doesn't make sense because we didn't see him throughout Breath of the Wild. So they're playing this rather dangerously. They could have easily, like, had, you know, shown the scene where Zelda's trying to save Link, and then, you know, have the king go, but to every story of a fall, there's a story of, a trident to beat it, and then we rewind, and, you know, this is the story of how, where everything went wrong. And, like, that would have been enough. So, the time travel story, the robot, really, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to play this. And like Tyler says, that's not enough for me not to play. I want to figure this out because I love the cutscenes that I'm pretty sure already rival all of them that we've already had in Breath of the Wild by now.
Or lack of in the Breath of the Wild, because there really wasn't much, sadly.
Exactly. It was all we had with the memories and a few others. But like that was good. I want to see more of that. I want to interact more with the four champions and everything, especially Mipha and Revali. They were my favorites. And Obro is pretty good too. Obro, I don't know why. Obro's Fire Emblem.
Yes.
So, Urbosa, sorry. But I want to interact with them. I want to see what they play like. And I think, and there's, of course, still a lot of mysteries going on. But this is a very dangerous path to go on, especially since we know the future that we think is still canon. I don't know anymore.
It's going to be interesting to see how Koei Tecmo is working with the Zelda team. Like, how they're going to rate the story. As everyone knows, the Zelda timeline is very convoluted as it is already.
Yeah.
So you don't need this thing to like add more like into like, okay, so is this another separate timeline or is this going to match it? Like, oh boy, this is going to be bad for the historians for Zelda timeline.
And to Tyler's point, the question of this is going to tie into Breath of the Wild 2, I think that would be even more dangerous because what are we at, like 15 million people have played Breath of the Wild, something like that, or more, or something? It's closer to 20, right? Because it's past Odyssey now. So, like, that's 20 million. I doubt this will sell more than 3. Because the original Hyrule Warriors sold a couple, like, 1.5, I think, on Wii U, not including the ports to 3DS and Switch. So, like, that's good sales, don't get me wrong, but I doubt 20 million are going to play this, even with the ties to the original title, because it's a very different kind of game. So to make this kind of tease what's happening in Breath of the Wild 2 is risky, because it's like, oh yeah, if you want to see where this all connects to, you got to go play this completely other game that's technically not made by Nintendo, so go and enjoy that. So who knows? Who knows? It's something. But again, the demo is available now. It's a little over an hour long, so definitely go try it out. And most importantly of all, should you like it and get Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, you can transfer your save data, so you do not have to restart. So
progress carries over, yes.
There you go. So go and enjoy that, okay? And now to the news, which is kind of weird because you've already had a lot of news, but we have even more, so it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first up, we had a surprising little bit of news that I am honestly really happy about, because Nintendo has announced that they will be releasing singular Nintendo Switch Joy-Con controllers for you to buy. Yes, no longer will you have to just buy a pair and not use the one that's not broken. You will be able to buy both a left and right Joy-Con controller starting, it was November 9th. So only, like, what, 2 weeks away? Something like that? Yeah. So not too much longer. It's about 12 days away. So I'm excited for this because my Joy-Cons have serious drift and the Todd S annoyed. So I gotta fix that entirely. So hopefully that'll work. And Keith was the same way. He's very excited, but he was like, finally! Like, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Last I checked the prices, because the original two junk Joy-Con was like $80 last I checked, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
$70, like, but yeah, and this thing for single Joy-Cons, I think it was like
$39. $39.99.
Yeah, so it's still fairly expensive if you want to buy both of them. So, like, you will kind of save more money if you buy the just the bundle. So, that kind of, like, yeah. Like, sure, if you only have one Joy-Con that's broken, sure, this is probably the best option. Yeah, it is the best option. But it just feels like, yeah, that's not really much of a difference when you think about it in the long time.
I might just buy some both of them because I've got problems on both. My left Joy-Con keeps going down, and then my right Joy-Con's the same way at times. It's just so random and stupid. I hate it. So.
And also, Nintendo, if you are listening, please, can you bring back the red Joy-Con from the Mario games? Because at the pure red, those things I would like to see again. Please, thank you. Because
this is the red one.
No, we have like the neon red and blue, the purple and orange, like Halloween colors, I think, and like only like the neon yellow and blue. It's basically the hot red, but not like the original dark red like in the Mario games that came out a while back.
No. I have the neon, so I don't care. But yes, again, that was on November 9th. So if you are in need of a singular Joy-Con, just hold on a little bit longer and you can fix your stuff. All right, moving on, we have sales news. If you recall, last week we were talking about how Super Mario 3D All-Stars had done very well in the NPD data for America. It was a second best launch of September behind Avengers, and it was doing well all over the place and in terms of records. So we were wondering, well, how much did it actually sell? Well, now we know part of it. Okay, this is a global sales number. It did 1.8 million copies in sales just digitally. Wow. So yeah, that's a lot. All right, like just digital. I mean, if you recall, Animal Crossing had 5 million digitally, so that was very impressive. And so for Mario All-Stars to do 1.8, that's rather incredible. So that shows, again, a lot of people are wanting to, you know, get this game even if it's only digitally, and it's actually the highest selling digital launch ever for Mario title on a Switch, which means it beat out Odyssey, Mario Maker 2, and Mario Brothers U Deluxe. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you, COVID, for locking us all up in our houses, and we have to go digital this time around. But yeah, like, just to see the sales, just that amazing, passing that point is just like, yeah, kind of goes to show like what can happen. Like now that storefronts, like you can still buy them physically. I mean, I still went to Nintendo NY in New York to go get the physical copy because, again, I always love physical copies of the games. But yeah. In any chance, like if you don't want to go out, especially for safety reasons, then yeah, the next best thing is to go get on the eShop and just buy them in the safety of your own home. So, sure, you need to buy an SD card as well, but again, those are your options. So overall, like not surprising, but at the same time, I'm happy the sales are just that great for this game, even though it's a compilation to say the least.
Yeah, but still, like that shows that they're willing to play it, and for gamers who haven't had the chance to play Sunshine and 64, or even Galaxy, technically, you know, this is a great chance for them to catch up. And three games in one for what was $60? That's a great deal. So, you know, that's pretty good. Now, what surprised me was that overall worldwide, Mario All-Stars was actually number 4 in September, which I found infinitely surprising. Avengers was 3. I thought for sure it would be 1. Number 1 was NBA 2K21.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. And then number 2 was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
What?
Swear to God. I mean, the Hawk is infinite. This is known. All right? I still proudly have some Tony Hawk shoes that I will wear occasionally. They're nice and big and blue, just like me. So, but like for that to be the number 2 game worldwide and beat Avengers? Like, okay. Does this mean that Tony Hawk is a bigger icon than the Avengers and Mario? I don't know if I can live in a world that accepts that. That's, yeah. Okay, well, let me just see. I think they have the Tony Hawk numbers. Oh, here you go. Just digitally, again, this is just digital sales, 2.8 million people bought Tony Hawk's Pro Skater digitally.
Wow.
2.8 million. And for those wondering about Avengers, that was 2.2 million. So, uh-huh. So, let's be honest with ourselves, though. Can we honestly attribute this solely to the pandemic, or is this just the rise of digital gaming?
I really think it's the pandemic. What's going to be interesting is what happens afterwards.
Yes.
Because you're right. The pandemic could have brought about a new way of, it could have brought out the digital age. And, we've kind of been teetering on the balance for a while now. So yeah. I just think, I don't know. I love physical so much more. I got to imagine that I'm not alone in that. So mostly COVID.
Yeah, I agree with that probably because, again, we can't, the pandemic itself is like closing stores and like just limiting the how many people can go into stores now. So of course that plays into a big factor. And now with, of course, the next console generation of like Xbox Series X, like PS5, with their digital only models, and the only thing that pretty much is remaining is like, yeah, the Switch is pretty much, you can either be both physical and digital as well, as long as you got the SD card space. So with all this, is just like, are we heading to that digital age? Perhaps, but honestly, I still would love my physical games just because, again, I like to have it in my hands and not worry of like if the servers or the Nintendo, the higher ups in Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony decide to go pull the plug like they did with Scott Pilgrim until they decide to bring it back again. So yeah, that's the one thing I'm worried about. But overall, I definitely agree. The pandemic, that's why we have the increase in digital sales.
I agree. I think that's a fair assessment, especially after what happened with Animal Crossing. They're like, oh, I guess if everyone else is getting digital sales, why not us? And I know you all, for any of you listening who were one of these people who have been buying more digital so that they don't go to the stores and risk exposure or risk getting exposed or risk exposing somebody else, I'm going to say two words that I'm sure you have not heard, but you need to hear. Thank you. I mean, we try and keep this podcast very not political outside of occasional jokes, but if you are maintaining, social distancing and quarantine, thank you, especially when it comes to, going to stores to get video games. It matters. It helps. You're keeping yourself safe. You're keeping your family safe. You're keeping your friends safe. And again, while it's fine if you want to get a physical copy every once in a while, like Tyler and Will and even me, if it's safer to buy it digitally and you feel that way, then thank you. Thank you for maintaining the quarantine and the social distancing and trying to do your best to, limit the spread of this, because that's the way we're going to get through this. All right.
And plus, again, we've got Best Buys and Amazon. They always deliver to your door as well. So that's
exactly.
Option as well. Yeah.
So, I mean, hate to support the corporate giants like that all the time, but
My mood on Jeff Bezos has seriously soured. And not just because he's the rival to Elon Musk, all right?
But here's the thing, right?
Like, Elon's high, but at least he's fun, all
right? I was, ordering a ton of books on Amazon early in the pandemic, and I was like, I have got to stop giving Amazon all my money because they're taking over the world. And then I was like, well, I know what I could do. I could go to the local bookstore, which is Barnes and Noble, which is also a
corporate overlord. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
There's big business everywhere, Tyler. you can't escape. So anyway, thank you for doing your part to trying to help get us through this. It matters. Okay. All right. So moving on to arguably my favorite piece of news: Pokemon Twilight Wings. So imagine my surprise when I find out that they are going to make another episode and it's coming out in November. So, yes, this is happening. For those of you who don't remember, Pokemon Twilight Wings was a special limited series done by a different animation studio than the main Pokemon anime. And it was focused mainly on the Galar region and showcasing various smaller stories about, 6 to 8 minutes long. And they showed off gym leaders, they showed off, younger people in the world, they showed off Leon, they showed off Elena, and what really amazed us was the beautiful short-form storytelling that really made you care for these characters, including ones that we just didn't really get a good connection with in the main game of Sword and Shield, like with Elena and Hop. So, it was really good. And the ending with Leon versus who's the dragon guy? Dragon.
Oh
Gym Leader.
Yeah, no, it was like three letters, I think.
Really, I thought it was long. It doesn't matter. But like the final battle was easily one of the most beautiful Pokemon battles ever rendered, and I say that watching a lot of great Pokemon battles, but that was just a really great showing. But now they are indeed making a brand new episode. It was revealed on the official Pokemon Twitter handle, and they go, embark on a new journey with familiar and new characters and even more adventure in Pokemon Twilight Wings, The Gathering of Stars. And based on that title, I think they're talking about the tag team tournament that we just got in the Crown Tundra. Because I believe that's called the Stars Tournament or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that would be cool. And they even said embark on a new journey, so perhaps they're doing another set of episodes? Hard to say. So what this tells me is that Twilight Wings was actually, I want to look that up really quick. Twilight Wings was such a big success for Nintendo that they're like, let's keep this going. And that's, I like that. Like that a lot.
Yeah, sure. The fact these shorts just like expanded so much like outside from the game. And I argue like these shorts were much more better than the game themselves. It's just like, yeah, one is obviously very studio, like again from his main influences, like Studio Ghibli with the water trainer, Nessa, yeah, just how, and of course all the rest of the episodes just have that heart to heart feels to it as well, especially with the Wooly episode, like that thing I always cried a little bit.
It's just like.
How these episodes just hit so much, and they're only like 7 minutes, 10 minutes tops. It's just like amazing. So like, why wouldn't the Pokemon Company like continue on with this thing? I'm sure like don't overstay your welcome, but I feel like this is you just want more, and of course like have more like fleshed out in this Pokemon world. And heck, I don't know, perhaps even make Pokemon Sword and Shield actually much more likable now, aside from the expansion pack. Yeah.
So but I'm looking at the views. Like episode one had over 6 million. Buddy, which is your Wooloo episode, that had 4 million. The Nessa episode had 3 million. The B episode had 4.7. And then, quite weirdly, 6 and 7 had 1.7 million, which is odd, because I would expect the final episode to have more. But still, like, millions of views on, you know, what was a short-form one-off series, and now they're continuing it potentially for more episodes beyond this next one, is really awesome, because we really love this series. Like, this is the kind of stuff that gets me excited as a writer, because it's like, could I do something like this where I have to do like short form stories? You know, that gets me excited. So according to the calendar, which is on the Pokemon Twitter, apparently this is going to arrive November 17th, and they said November 5th in Japan. So that's pretty soon, and again I'm excited. So we shall see where this goes, Pokemon fans. Now the only thing they need to do is get back Poketunes. Remember that one?
Oh man.
With Scraggy and Mimikyu, you know, the Looney Tunes spinoff. They said they're gonna do more, so we'll see. Because if they can have three consistent cartoons going, that would be huge for them, no doubt. So, but again, that's my favorite piece of news. And now Tyler's favorite piece of news, Minecraft Steve.
I love this news. Love it.
Uh-huh. He doesn't even know what the news is. So
I do know what the news is.
Oh.
Sakurai wanted to get Minecraft levels into Smash Bros.
Okay, well, that was only one part of it. That was the only part I told you, so that's the only thing you could have said. So, but yes, a new interview in Famitsu, which has only been partially translated so far, featuring Sakurai and talking about Minecraft Steve, has released. And here's basically what he said. He said, we went to Microsoft to present the idea. They were very pleased. Dang right, you were pleased. This was Sakurai pitching you something. He goes, we were looking for a way to make edits based on stages made on Minecraft, then put them into Smash Bros. Ultimate, but unfortunately we gave up quickly on it. As expected, it was a bit too much. You think? I mean, I remember you, Will, talking about, Tyler was talking about using the blocks on every level, and like all the detail that had to go into like mining the materials off of every single stage, and they had to think about what materials you would get, and like all the work that had to go into that, and then they were trying to do custom Minecraft levels. Are you kidding me, Sakurai? Are you trying to put yourself on another IV?
Jeez, that yeah, like as much as that would have been something. I the fact that we already have one custom stage editor already as it is, we don't need another custom stage editor that's solely revolves around the Minecraft Steve. Which,
Yeah.
come on, that's already a killer as it is. We I think it's Sakurai. I know we want you to rest, not to work even harder. You're already killing yourself with these the season pass too. Please do not kill yourself even more.
Yeah. We need you alive so you can make the next Smash Brothers. Moving on. But other things that he said were the music production was the toughest time we faced out of all Smash Brothers production. We couldn't use some songs from the original work due to various reasons. Well, he actually elaborated on this earlier. Minecraft music is comforting. Yeah, if I like when we did the original Steve reveal episode, I went and I found a website that had downloadable tracks from Minecraft. And so I'm clicking through all of them, and they're all so calming and soothing. It's crazy. And even ones that had like kind of dark titles, they were just very calm and rhythmic and everything. I'm like, I want an impactful title. Give me something. And so when Sakurai says there's no real like intense tracks in Minecraft, so that's why they had to use Minecraft Dungeons because that has more, exciting music. So
So I
that's a
agree with that to like an extent, but what's that Hanenbo level? There's just like ambient music, like ambient noises is the soundtrack for when you're fighting. So I that was an interest. Like I think it's probably smart because the ambient noises don't really work. But I don't know. Sakurai could work around that. I was surprised that that was a limit for him. Anyway, carry on.
yeah. Oh, I shall carry on my wayward son. And then I goes, there were a few, oh, here we go. There are a few tracks we abandoned in the middle of the arrangement. In the end, I think we were able to find common ground without losing the mood, thanks to the hard work of the musicians. So yeah, they were able to work around it. And a full translation is coming eventually. So hopefully we'll get more into the inside of what it took to make Alex or Steve and Alex and Hinderman and Zombie and of course Steve's. So yeah, I still can't believe we got away with using Steve's meat all the time last episode. Yeah, I mean again, you just got to meet expectations. So all right, so finally in our main event we have the return of Splatfests once again. Yes, it is a perfectly themed Halloween episode of or Halloween themed Splatfest, and it is the return of Trick or Treat. So, as always, it's time to settle it in Splat. All right, so I actually can't remember what we said or what Will said I selected last time, so I'm just gonna go off the cuff and just make a selection based on how I personally feel. And for a time, I probably would have gone treat because who doesn't love to eat sweets? And I actually indulged recently and I had some more Pop-Tarts for the first time in, I swear, in years. Like, I haven't had Pop-Tarts in years, and I just got a craving. I'm like, Mom, can I get some? I don't know why I had to ask my mother. I'm 30 gosh dang years old. But I'm like, Mom, can I get me some Pop-Tarts? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. And I'm like, okay. So I got some more Pop-Tarts. I'm such a mama's boy. But they were good. They were so
Course
good.
they were. Pop-Tarts are amazing.
Yes, they are.
Yep,
And my
yep, yep.
mom made a new recipe. She calls it Oreo bark. It was Oreo crushed. Yeah,
Ooh.
and then she put like peppermint chips on it. Not like actual peppermint, but like chocolate chips, but with
Oh,
peppermint side.
okay.
And it's delicious. So I've been eating a lot of treats recently, but I can't condone myself eating lots of candy anymore. Like there was times in college where I would just be devouring Skittles left and right because there was a cafeteria that I could buy them in, and I had like this slush fund, for lack of a better term, because of my arrangement in the dormitory. And so I would be popping Skittles like crazy, and that's why I ballooned to 230. Oh, Skittles are my kryptonite. I love Skittles. Starburst.
I mean,
Starbursters.
to be
Yeah, good
fair, like
choices.
like eating Skittles to a daily point is like that will melt your teeth. Even I can't eat them too often because they hurt my teeth,
The
honestly.
sour Skittles really cut my mouth up, but they are heavenly. They are so good. Worth the pain.
Oh yeah, no, and I don't care about my teeth. I haven't cared about my teeth since I was a kid. So, but I've tried, especially in my recent days of trying to work out and get into, you know, fit-ish shape, that I don't want to eat too many treats, which is, again, hilarious because of my mom's cooking and there's some more Pop-Tarts I just got. But I'm trying. I'm trying. And so my pick is actually going to be Trick. Because if you really think about it, tricks are just more satisfying. Because you can get a treat anytime you want. I mean, the payoff is only how much you enjoy it. And, of course, how much you pay to get the candy and everything. But if you pull off a trick on somebody, even if it's just subtle, it's so worth it. All right? And I know this is probably me showing that I belong in the bad place. But thank you for getting the reference, Tyler. But I just love it. Like, I loved it when I was a kid. I loved it when I was in high school. I loved it when I was in college. Okay, here's my one of my best trick storylines, or stories. I'm a writer, so I say storylines. So I was in college, and I was in a dormitory where I shared in an apartment-style room. So me and three other guys in four different rooms. So this one guy that I was with, I can't remember his name, he was super popular. You know, he's like that party fun guy that you just can't help but like, and I got along okay with him. But he had friends over all the time in the dorm room, and I hated it. But I wasn't going to say anything because he's like, you know, it's his life. He's just trying to have fun and everything. But one night, they were being so dang annoying. Like, they were being loud. I'm trying to relax. And so I was like, I got to get these fools. So what I do is I wait for them to leave, like the outer area of our dorm room. And I go and I wait by the door and I lock it. Now, there's two kinds of locks on this door. There's the car keyed lock, which is the basic lock where, you know, you have to put in your student ID to open it up, kind of like a hotel room. And then there's the super lock, which is even if you have the card key, you can't get in. I don't know why they put that on there, but I love it. And so I went in and I waited for them to leave, and I was the only one in the apartment, and I locked the door, and I just sat up. I sat on the door or next to the door, and I waited. And sure enough, who comes to the door? It's the friends. And my roommate, which he broke the rules in doing this, gave him the key card to get in. And they're trying to get the key card to work, and it's not working. And I'm just staying silent on the other side of the door. They don't know I'm there. And they're like just talking and they're debating, like, why is this not working? Is something wrong? Did we not use the car key right? And they're doing this for like minutes on end. And I'm just like containing a laugh and I'm just enjoying their misery. Again, I belong in the bad place. But it's just going on and on. And eventually they just go, I don't get what's going on. And I go, yeah, it's really weird, isn't it? And they all freak. And they're like, is someone there? I'm like, hi. And I just start teasing them from the other side of the door. And they go, let us in. I'm like, no. And I just keep doing those like back and forth for like 2 minutes. And then my roommate shows up. He goes, Todd. So he's freaked about me. Like, he knows I don't do this very often. He goes, Todd, can you let me in? And I go, only if it's you. And he goes, okay. And so I slowly get up. I unlock the door. I slowly turn the handle. I rush the door open. I grab him by the shirt, pull him in, throw him against the wall, shut the door again, and I start laughing. Because I'm like, they're going to be freaked, aren't they? And he goes, yeah, they're kind of freaked, Todd. And I'm like, yeah, he's like literally bug eyes. He has no idea what I'm doing. And I go, dude, you're being too loud with the friends, okay? And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, Todd. I'll tell him to keep it down. I'm like, okay, I'm going back into my room now. Then you can let them in. Understand? He goes, yeah, okay, I get it. And I, so I go back to my room, and I do my best to contain the laugh as they all enter. And he's like, guys, we gotta keep it down for Todd. And that is more satisfying than any Skittle on Earth, okay?
I disagree. I do think the green sour Skittle is probably more satisfying. But your point is well taken.
But yeah, so treats you can get all the time. But when you get the perfect trick, whether it's a jump scare, whether it's a prank on your family or your friends, or just some fools that totally deserve it, it is deeply satisfying on an evilly spiritual level. So, yeah. Welcome to my world.
All right. And for me, as not unsurprisingly as ever, I will forever defend the honor of Marina, and I will go with Sweets again. Because one thing is for sure, like, I'm going to use your title from our last Splatfest, because you said that history repeats itself again. That's why that wasn't what you thought. I remember. I think it was you thought. But yeah, you said, like, history shall repeat itself, because that's why we had the elections. But yeah, I'm going to go and say that Sweets will claim victory again, because one, can you really say no to Sweets? I mean,
you
sure,
just did.
Like, for
you
on
did, you did like 5 minutes ago. You said you can't eat too much because of your teeth. So you did say no to Sweets, Will.
In the end, sure, in moderation, they got to go and be careful of that. But again, in the end, Sweets, sugar, like, and there's just some things about life that you just can't go without, because, like, I don't know about you. Like, sure, In the spirit of Halloween, like, sure, you want to go, like, do, like, all these different awesome pranks, be it, like, I don't know, TV a house, throwing eggshells. I mean, of course, who doesn't like to be a naughty little kid on, I don't know, on Halloween's night, just being, like, the little brat, evil brat they are? I mean, sure, okay. And, of course, like, basically in history culture, like, just to go and scare off the evil spirits that haunt within the, I don't know, the witching, yeah, as we always like to call it, the witching hour that comes in that midnight hour, to say the least. So sure, there is that quote-unquote tradition in historical context, but in the end, it's just like, there's just something good about having Sweets in the day. Like, just one thing, one, even like, okay, disregarding the whole pandemic back in the day when we just like give kids candy, sweets and treats, and just seeing their smiles on their faces, now that is the sweetest reward there is. And of course, just like like, yes, there is the sugar, you have to go and keep moderation up, but again, who doesn't like sweets, candies, sugar canes? And I don't know, this is probably the ongoing debate right now, but I was down this hill. Candy corn deserves to be existed. Love candy corn.
It should be thrown out. And
No.
Candy corn
should exist.
One of the torture methods used in The Bad Place. 100%.
No. Candy corn definitely exists. Those things are just one of the best
ever. Hold on. We all know. Now, Tyler, I know you don't like candy corn. That's fine. But candy peanuts.
Candy?
Yeah, those are good. Yeah.
What? No! You take that back, sir!
The peanuts with, like, the red kind of, like...
The ones that are actually shaped like peanuts. They're orange and
they look like styrofoam.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'm talking like candy. Like, type it up on Google. You'll see what I mean. Peanuts. Like, they're big. They look like real peanuts.
Those things are horrendous.
Red peanuts, right?
Orange. Yeah.
No, these things are delicious. I knew what I was talking about.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking up. I'm gonna look up the right one just to make sure.
Just look up red peanuts candy, and that's what I'm looking at.
Hold on. We'll keep venting, but I'll look. I'll
okay. Like, the fact that you say candy peanuts are the best thing are better than candy corn, I will forever question you.
Here it is. Sorry, circus peanuts.
Oh, okay. Well, let me see. Maybe see. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Type in circus peanuts. That's what I'm looking for. It's a candy that looks like peanuts.
Oh no, those are disgusting.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was about to say.
Sorry, everyone. There was a little miscommunication
I take part responsibility. I said candy, not circus. That's partly on me. So, like, those are worse than candy corn.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Those things are horrendous. But again, I will stand and die on this hill that candy corn does exist in the realm of candy industry. But in the end, like, when all this fails, like, sure, I just, well, people like to go and play tricks, and I'll just, like, make people laugh, whether it be spooks or just, like, playing pranks. Honestly, like, from candies to corns to all things in between, caramel. I mean, heck, I haven't had caramel apple in such a long time. It's just, that thing is just, like, who doesn't enjoy a good sweet treat in a day of the witching hour? Like, in the context of Halloween and just, like, how just, again, like, sure, we had to contribute to candy industry, the candy industry, to say the least, or the corporate candy overlords, to say the least. But then even once it's Halloween's over, we get discounted candy afterwards. So yeah, I see, that's a win.
So I'm actually surprised and respect your ability to think on your feet, Will, because you anticipated one of my arguments, which still stands. I'm going to be Team Trick here, of course. And one of the major reasons is this is 2020. Like, who wants to go to strangers' houses and have them put their grimy hands on their candy and then give them to their to the kids. It's a super spreader event, trick-or-treating. And in 2020, it's sad, but you can't have it. That puts treats pretty much out, you know? It's not the same when you go to the store and buy yourself a big bag of Reese's Cups. Sure, they're delicious, but that's, you know, suddenly the spirit of Halloween, as you had pointed out, is no longer being fulfilled, you know? It's all about getting candy from other people. And you just can't do that this year. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but that kind of makes Trick win by default. But I'm also a big fan of Trick's because I don't know if you guys know this. Maybe you don't. I'd be surprised. But back in, I want to say 2002, a young Tyler Kelbaugh went to Las Vegas. And I went to Las Vegas with my parents, and we went to a magic show. The great Lance Burton was the man who ran this show, and you know, I loved it. Magic shows are great, but there comes a time we're in this huge theater. There's like at least 10,000 people there, and Lance looks out to the crowd and he tries to find the most talented young magician out there.
Oh, gee, who is he going to pick?
So he comes and he picks me, of course.
I thought you said he was looking for the most talented.
I did. So he picks me, and of course I'm 8 years old, so I'm a little scared. I'm a little hesitant, and I think Lance knew. I think he was looking for prey because he was like, this kid's gonna like totally like be funny by accident, and we're gonna get him out there. So he brought me up onto the stage, and I had to, you know, introduce myself to adoring fans. And he made me disappear. I got in this nice convertible, and I had to wave to the crowd. That was fun. I was scared, so my arm kind of kept, like, falling down because I was really scared. And he kept raising my arm back up and making me wave to everybody. Everybody was laughing with me, not at me, I should note.
Right.
And I pulled off the greatest stunt of all times. I don't want to tell you guys how I did it, but I made the convertible disappear. And then Lance Burton, the magician, got into this dramatic sword fight, and right at the last moment when he was about to get got, who appeared on stage? I did, and saved him. So I'm a pretty big fan of Trick's because that's how I became famous for the first time. Lance Burton, Master Magician, 2002. I'm surprised you guys haven't heard about that.
You have not told us the story.
I know I didn't tell you the story. Things looked pretty bad for Lance, though. And then I emerged at just the right time. And
I see that as a missed opportunity. Because, let's be honest here, he made you disappear.
He did.
The bigger trick would have been to not bring you back. would have gotten you a standing ovation.
So I'll tell you, I'll tell you how I did it. There was this trap door.
Of course there was.
That they lowered the thing down, of course, like pretty obvious.
Obviously.
And then so he's doing this sword fight, and like everybody's paying attention to the sword fight, and they just like ran me around the back, and they're like, okay, now you appear on stage. And like I just walked on stage, and not one person out of the 10,000 who were there were like, whoa, or who were like, oh, I saw you. Like, I got back, and mom was like, how did that happen? How did you reappear? I was like, I literally just like walked onto the stage. And it was pretty cool, though. The sleight of hand, I guess, it's such like a large scale thing.
Yeah. Well, that, remember, the point is to distract you, to distract the audience, looking one way and looking the other. That's why they always have the trope is to have the beautiful assistant, because they'll be focusing on her and not on what the magician is doing.
Right.
So it was the same thing. So the sword fight was the distraction so that they're not going to see a kid basically walking on stage.
Literally, he just somebody grabbed my hand. I think it was a beautiful assistant and was just like, okay, let's run up now. Like, all right, let's go. So yeah, team Trick, 100%. Also, that trick where you like stand against the wall and make it look like you're levitating, absolute classic.
So I do want to disagree with one thing. You said that you were selected because you were the most talented young magician out there.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that I was in Illinois and my nickname is Black Magic, so like I'm by default better than you.
But
so.
you weren't in the crowd that day though, and if you were, I think Lance Burton would have stuck with me. I'm sorry. I think he would.
I'm sorry. My Lance Burton's a kind of a big deal. Okay, iPro tops everything.
Lance Burton, though, like one of the greatest magicians of our time, and he picked me.
It sounds like a magical night.
And I had it, and he gave me a T-shirt afterwards. That was pretty cool. I used that shirt for like 6 years as my go-to pajama shirt.
Now you're showing off. Oh, I got a shirt when I went to Vegas.
I got a T-shirt. That was pretty cool.
And just to, as while we're wrapping it up, is like just to recount on the results from last year, actually 2018 when this topic was introduced back then, Treat did lost the popularity vote again. Trick won the popularity vote by 56.85%, but the Treat won both normal and pro league victories. However, to note, the Treat only won the normal league by 0.11%. So perhaps Trick will get this win this time around, or will history repeat itself and Treats will get it again? Who knows?
Well, considering I'm probably going to have more time to actually do the Splatfest this time around, I'm going to take a bet and say that Trick is going to dominate. Just saying.
So. I actually need to go and go back and open up my Splatoon 2 cartridge to see that conversation again. I really do miss Perm Arena again.
All right, and so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Talk.
Hold on, wait, like filibuster for like 20 more seconds. Just like, you know, start talking about stuff.
Fine.
Like, Will,
okay,
you're
so
really
this,
bad
this one,
at.
So this time, this one time, I was I went to New York, and my parents said they were gonna go around town and whatever, and they asked
You're done filibuster.
See, you didn't even let me do the joke because I was gonna do a fake story about how I met Penn and Teller. And you know how, so, because obviously I got top your Lance Burton story, and so anyway,
he won Best Magician 11 years in a row.
That's pretty impressive.
Just
that is impressive.
You know, I'm not making it up. He's pretty great.
I believe you. All right, are you ready now? Can we end the show, please?
Yes.
All right. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler,
hold on, I'm not ready.
Hey, God, no, I'm a professional here, everybody. Professional.
This is my
are you excited for Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light to release in North America? 66.7% of you said yes, and 33.3% of you said no.
I'm not surprised with
fair
that.
Fair enough.
All right, so this one's also going to be a very simple one that Tyler is going to write right now so that I don't have to wait to post it the next day because he forgot, even though I told him right on the show that he needs to make this poll. Not that he
No, you didn't. I disconnected. I disconnected. And
that's
disconnect. I meant to tell you guys, surprise, I did not die in a marching accident. So that was good.
So I forgot that happened last week. So this week's poll, which Tyler's going to write right now, is are you going to try out the Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity demo? Yes or no? Pure and simple. So I'm very curious about this one because it really seems, and Keith noted this as well, that Nintendo is really going whole hog with this one because, it's a really long demo. So I think they're trying to make sure that people get interested in this before the release next month. So we shall see.
I mean, to be fair, it won't top off Dragon Quest's demo, which is like you can actually play literally hours on that demo. But yeah,
it's like 10 hours. It was unbelievable how long that was.
That is a long demo. But like playing an hour on a demo is still pretty good. Like remember Octopath Traveler, where you got to play as both Oberon's and Primrose's first path storyline. Pretty in depth. So yeah. So anyway, go check out that poll question. And of course, let us know what you thought of everything that happened this week from the Nintendo Direct. What did you think of the Final Partners Showcase? Are you going to get one of the Joy-Con singulars when they come out? Were you one of the people who bought Super Mario 3D digitally? Are you excited for the return of Pokemon Twilight Wings? Let us know in the comments below. So for Tellius, Tyler, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. He made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.